Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take over this study and lead us and guide us in all ways and open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, Father, so that we can grow in strength of faith and grow closer in understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and of you, Father, and most certainly of thy word, so that we can walk the pathway of righteousness. And we ask this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 23rd chapter now of the book of Acts. And Paul has been bound. And he'd been brought before the high priest and all, or the chief priest, you know, and the council and everything. And starting here now with 23, in verse 1, and Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. He's letting them know that he has lived according to the leading that he has had of God and doing the work he was called on to do, and that his conscience is clear. Now, 2, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God smite thee, thou whited wall, for settest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? Sounds a whole lot like things of a lot of ours today, don't it? that are teaching contrary to the word of Almighty God and leading people down the wrong pathway. Now, 4, and they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I was not, brother, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Paul said, I didn't know he was the high priest either. Especially by the way he was acting. Now, 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, pardon me, and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council. You see, he's got both 6 there, and Paul knows. Paul's not dumb. They have taught the Holy Spirit, and God has taught them a lot of things. And so he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. You see, now he's putting this to them because he knows that this can bring up contention and division among them. Because the Pharisees believe even in the resurrection, and the Sadducees don't. Now, 7. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. You see, this is what he knew would happen. Now, 8. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. You see, they don't believe in angels. They didn't even believe in the spirit. Now, that's the most dangerous of all of their belief. Because you see, with that on them, they will never be straight, because they have got there the very sin and the only sin you can't be forgiven for. And that is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And that word blaspheme means to reject, to deny, or to curse. And here we find that they don't believe in the resurrection, neither angels nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. Now, the only difference there with the Pharisees is they are under the law. It wasn't really keeping it, but that's what they under. Now, 9. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. We can understand why he caused all this dissension and all. Because he was in bonds and he's needing a way out because he's still got some work to do for God. Now, 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Now the captain sent him for him. 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, you see, we know that God is sending him to Rome. And he's making the way for him to get there. And he's got to testify there. So he's having to go, actually, more or less under bondage. But that's his way of getting there. You see, a lot of things that we have to go through is for the good things that is to come out from those things that we, our trials and tribulations that you and I have to face. Now, 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. They had made a vow that they was neither going to eat nor drink until they had killed him. 13. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. More than 40 of them had taken this oath and made this conspiracy to kill him. But you see, God knows how to keep him. And they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. 15. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. They want to catch him on the way to kill him. 16. Now when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. He told Paul on what they were doing. 17. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him. 18. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who has something to say unto thee. 19. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that that thou hast to tell me? 20. And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. 21. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready looking for a promise from thee. Now, he told them. And so the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. Don't go tell nobody that you told these things to me. 23. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70. In other words, he's got 200 soldiers now and 70 horsemen, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. Now, he's got quite an army there. And provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. You see, he plans on getting him there safe. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greetings. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Paul's a Jew, but he is also a Roman citizen. Now, and when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Now, he wrote this letter, and he sent it Paul to Felix. Now, 31. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded, then took Paul and brought him by night to Antipas. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what providence he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, 35, I will hear thee, said he, when thy accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. You see, he is still under bondage, under arrest and under bondage. But God is working everything in order to get him to Rome. You say, well, that's a hard way of getting it done. But you see, by the same token, there is a lot of things about the Lord Jesus and all that is being shared with others that really needed it. And a lot of them, it won't do any good, but some, it may. We don't really know and understand all of it until we find out. Now, we're going into chapter 24. We have just finished with 23. Verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with certain orators named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. 2. When he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. He's trying to get on the good side of Felix here. Chapter 3, verse 3, really. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. He's really trying to butter him up, isn't he? Now, 4. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. He's really trying his best to butter Felix up so Felix will go their way. Now, 5. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now, 6. Who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. 7. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Now, 8. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. 9. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Now, you see those Judaizers, they're in on this too. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Paul was telling Felix, I'll answer for myself. 11. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. 12. And they neither found me in the temple, disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city. He said, they didn't find me doing any of this. Now, pardon me. Get my throat cleared up just a little bit, maybe. We got a little dankness around, and it causes that mucus to get in my throat. Now, 13. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. He said, they can't prove any of this. 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. He said, I believe all those things. And we know that Paul was well schooled in the law and all, because he sat under Gamaliel for many years. Now 15 here. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Now, he's telling Felix exactly what he believes and what he stands on. 16. And therein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. 17. Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offering. 18. Whereupon certain Jews found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with turmoil. 19. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had against me, but they're not there against him. Now, 20. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Now, he's been straightforward, being bold in talking to Felix this way, and he's been truthful. 21. He says, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. He said, it's because of that very thing there. Because he believed in the resurrection of the dead. And he's telling Felix, that's why I'm here before you. 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. You see, Christ is also being preached. Paul's going through a whole lot, but the word is spreading. We don't understand a lot of things that God will lead us through and have us doing. But we put our trust in him, and it does not matter what he will call on us to do. We do exactly what he wants of us. Now, Verse 25, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and commanded and communed with him. He kept sending for him and talking with him because he was hoping Paul would give him some money so he'd turn him loose. Paul ain't doing that because Paul has got to go to Rome. And the Lord has set this way up. Now, 27. But after 2 years, 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. He's left him bound now. But is he going to do with him? Now, we have just finished with chapter 24. We have finished two chapters, 23 and 24. So I think we'll stop here for the time, because the next chapter, 25, it's also got 27 verses to it. And would be a whole lot, because just as Dennis Lee asked of you, and I ask of you the same thing, we both ask of you to take and reread the things we study, because it will help you to get more out of it. And we know there is more there, because that, instead of just reading, is a way of study that will let us receive more of the truth and the strength of this gospel. So I think we'll stop here, and then we'll pick up this evening at 6, God willing, with chapter 25. We're not going to be in Acts much longer, because we can get 25 and maybe even 26 this evening. But And there's only 28, just two, in the book of Acts, and we'll be going in then to Romans. We're moving on through the Bible, and I pray that you all have picked up a whole lot of the truth of the gospel that's letting you see all of this that has been taught so many years now that is contrary to the Word of God, so that you can walk more upright, walk in stronger faith, and serve the things that God will ask of each of us to do. All right. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we close your word. We thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for the time that we can come together to share your word and to grow stronger each and every day, Father. Now, Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we do pray for them and pray for them to have peace, but we know that right now, Father, there's not much peace there. We are praying for them to have peace. But, Father, even more so, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And, Father, this land of ours, a land, Father, that has turned its back and walked contrary to thy word, bringing so much evil to our people, making them believe that evil is good and good is evil. Now, Father, those that are evil that are in our government offices and in our churches that are teaching things that are contrary to the word, that they be removed, Father, and replaced with ones that belong to you, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church and your people, and love this country. To help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us all through this day. Keep us in health and keep us safe, Father. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and Amy's husband, Tom, Amy's son, Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Father, myself, and all of our families, James Tate. Father, help us all to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ continually through our day. Always lifting you up, Father, with praise and thanksgiving. Work with all of us now, Father. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. I pray you have a great day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.